Hello and welcome to episode 276 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine, fine evening, it's the most beautiful boy in Boston. That's right, Triple B, L. Alex, all sorts of nicknamed. It's Alex Kulafi.
Since Perry's not here, we're going to do one of those two-man episodes today where we're cordial to each other.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, do a real tight, this, you know, the intro's super professional, just stick to the names, like, you know, Jerry's not here, we actually could put together a decent show.
Yeah, for once in our lives.
Well, the good news is it won't be just once in our lives. That's all right, we finally kicked Perry off.
Thank God.
Yeah, it was sort of a slow burn to bring Alex in, and it's funny, we even made it think, it like, we got Perry to think it was his idea to ask Alex on, but little did he know, it was really just, he was just another cog in the machine, you know, to get him out and get someone who actually plays video games in here.
And
I know that's rich coming from a guy who hasn't been playing too many different video games.
And it's funny because it was his idea technically on the record to bring me on, but after he brought me on, you actually went to me and was like, hey, you need to be the one to fire Perry. And I'm like, yes, please, immediately.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just about pretty much the best thing you could have someone ask you to do. Just kick Perry out on the streets.
No, Perry's out for a very good reason. He's having another
kid.
He's
getting rings and wings. No.
Yeah, he's having another kid, which is exciting.
Yes. Woo-wee. Yeah, it a Christmas miracle, if you will. The little one, I phoned a friend, and I was like, hey, my gift isn't going to get there in time. You think you can come early, make this a distraction? And and the baby was like, I got you. So, yep, Perry is becoming a father again. And yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it was sort of last minute. So, of course, we had our big holiday exchange planned for today, but we will be pushing that until next week. Barring he's ready, I think he'll probably be able to record by next week. But of course, if something happens where he's still super busy, we'll play it by ear. But tentatively, we should be good next week to do the old exchange. I know I've got both of your guys' gifts. I'm pretty sure there's just one box left for Perry.
Yep.
And then otherwise, everyone else has got their stuff. So it should be good. I know, a little disappointing we don't get it this week, but that's okay. Because, yeah, I mean, pretty darn cool Perry's having another little baby.
Yeah. A little selfish he's not here, to be honest. But I think at least you can forgive him for this.
Well, with a caveat, you know, like there, he'll have to repay us tenfold at another date. But for now, we're going to let him think it's okay.
Yeah. Obviously, all the love to Perry and Jill. Hope the baby has a lovely time coming into the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be tough seeing Perry's mug as one of the first faces, but, you know. No one said living the D life was easy, so. But yeah, that doesn't mean we aren't going to have a fun old show right here. Yeah, we got Christmas coming up this weekend, so of course, a happy holidays to everyone, but we'll do all those wishes later. But we do have some video games to talk about. We do have a bunch of listener mail in lieu of the exchange, so that's going to be super fun after the break. But I guess before we get into anything, I mean, it is the season, right? Generally speaking, good eats are to be had, either already or definitely with the holiday, you know, upcoming. But I know I've been pigging out a little bit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know. What about you? You got anything good lately?
Yeah. So she's at her parents' right now. I'm spending Christmas in Texas, but she ended up going a week early because she just had more time off from work, and my flight.
She's already sick of you.
Already?
Yeah.
So tomorrow I have a 7 a.m. flight, like plane leaving the ground at 7. So my dad, being the saint he is leaving the house at 3 a.m. to take me. But I've been on my own for the last week. And what that's amounted to in practice is just straight video games and ordering out every single day.
Dude, so what you've been telling me is you've been living the dream for the last week.
Yeah, but I mean, you're a few years older than me, so I don't know if this hits you the same way it does me. But pigging out every single day doesn't... I don't have the stamina for it anymore, I've realized. My mouth was just straight up salt after 3 or 4 days. Because what did I have? I had McDonald's one night, Japanese curry from Go-Go Curry for lunch. I think I did. I actually went clean last night and got a grilled chicken Greek salad. But I've been out of control.
Been going to town.
Oh yeah, but it's been good. It's been good. And then I got eggnog, which was pretty good. Because
not an eggnog man personally.
You're not. You don't put a little nutmeg in it. Have a grand old time. Maybe some rum.
Not for me. Not for me.
Okay. Yeah. So tonight's the last meal. But I think I'm gonna try to go clean again. But the moral or lesson here is that
you right over there.
Yeah, no, I just, it's, I'm just phlegmy like you were before we started this. Yeah.
Gotta clear it out before we go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's just one thing I've learned about myself this year is even though I'm 27, which is a baby age, and we have listeners who are 20 years older than me. This is the year I'm starting to feel my age a little bit, and that I just don't have the stamina to pig out like I used to. It just hits you a little harder, and I don't know if you've had the same reaction, or if you just eat so little that it doesn't really get you too bad.
I mean, there are definitely times where I go harder than I should, but it's more of a momentary sort of pain, right? Like, I'll be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. There have definitely been times where I've eaten enough, and then I just feel like crap the rest of the night, you know? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, why did I do that, you know? But usually by the morning, I'm up and at 'em and ready to go again. But I do try not to go too ham, especially since, like, my bugaboo is, like, I buy food way too often, especially lunch and stuff. Like actually, today, I was a big old turd burger. It was rainy and crappy, so, like, it was a short day of work for me, so I was home by noon. But I wasn't hungry at the time, but I was like, whatever, I'm just going to go home. And then I got hungry a little bit later, and it was like, oh, I don't want to go back out. So I ordered the old Grubhub delivery. And actually, I went with Panera Bread today, which is not something I normally do, because I do like their food, but generally speaking, it's a little expensive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For like the sandwich and stuff, but they had this like mac and cheese sandwich, and I was like, well, I'm like doing delivery, right? You're already in your head. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna spend freaking close to $20 anyway, whatever.
At least, so
it was actually pretty good. It was $18 with tip for the sandwich, a bag of chips, and then like a little. It came with like a little piece of bread or whatever, but. Yeah, it was actually pretty good. Like I said, aside from me just being a turd burger, but, and then last night too, yeah, we're like, Caitlin got home from work. It was super late. We're like, oh, we got nothing to cook. Like, and then we ordered tacos and oh, they were so good. The good thing about that was it was like $7 off your first order. So it felt a little bit better, you know?
The delivery gets you. I mean, especially if you're in a weaker moment where the grocery load isn't the best at the moment. Like, yesterday, I was actually about to make lunch with groceries I had bought the day before. I call them groceries, but really it was pork buns, frozen pork buns I got from the Asian supermarket. Very loosely defined as groceries.
It definitely sounds like more along the lines of being an adult when you say, yeah, I got some groceries opposed to just the pork.
The food I eat is more complicated, but the patterns and what I'm actually doing exactly the same as 10 years ago. No, but I was about to make what could loosely be described as groceries, and then Uber Eats pops up with a noti, and it's like, hey, $15 off your next two orders. Not $15, so $7.50 each. 15 each order off. And I ordered...
You'd be dumb not to.
I ordered the Japanese curry while I saw the notification pop up on my phone. And but the thing is, with Uber Eats, that fee section where they just throw $6 onto it,
it ended up being
like 20 with tip, even all said and done.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I hate that. Like, and I know my rental company doesn't do it. Where, you know, my complex or my apartment building, whatever you want to call it, doesn't do it. But I know some are like, oh yeah, we charge you $10 online convenience fee. You know, and it's like, screw you guys, you know? It's like, this is not only convenient for me, it is so very convenient for you. It's like, you shouldn't be charging me for this, you know? Like, ugh. Yeah, and like, I guess, I understand the fees on the, like, those delivery services. Like, they have to do it, otherwise they don't make money, you know? Like, but yeah, it's like, ugh, I hate it. Although, I did, like, cross-reference the, like, last night when we got the tacos, like, what the cost on Grubhub was versus, like, the menu. And it was the same. Because I feel like sometimes they jack up the price, like, per item. And then they hit you with those fees also.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, you're killing me.
It's even worse because I bit the bullet on that 6 months of free Uber Eats pass or whatever. So I'm technically getting the free delivery as is. But they still... The invisible fees, exactly. I'm getting bent the F over.
Mm. It ain't right.
It ain't right.
It ain't right. But, yeah. No, it's... I've fallen a victim to those darn delivery things. I'm just such a lazy turd, is pretty much what it boils down to. Mm. I get home and I'm like, no, I don't want to leave.
Listen, being a man-child in arrested development like the three of us are is not an easy job, but someone's got to do it.
Yep, yep, yes, sir. And unlike Perry, we actually show up. What an idiot. Yeah, we're just going to make fun of dumb Perry a bunch here, too.
And he wonders why we fired him.
Yep, yeah, yeah. He's going to be listening with his sweet baby in his arms, and we're going to be like, Perry's such an idiot moron. And that little baby's going to hear all about it. She'll know.
In fact, moron will be your first word to Perry in the hospital a day old.
Well, I'm hoping it'll be like, where's the champ? You know, because when I was there for Dixie, she saw me just dominate a Mario Party. So we're always joking that I was the champ, you know, and then she was like, where's the champ at?
Maybe we'll
get it going for the second one as well.
Isn't it great when kids just don't know your name?
Oh, yeah. Yep. You're just like, they're like, they don't know what's going on, but they're having a good old time.
Yeah.
But, yes, I think that's enough ramble bambling.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some games to talk about. Now, of course, Alex has a whole bunch here, and then I have a little bit.
We can say we have two each.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you kick it off with one of your games?
Sure.
Not the one we both played. We'll sort of, yeah, tie that one together because you probably have more thoughts on it than me.
I think we played a similar amount. But anyways, the first game I played was Konami, publisher of video games, sent me a Switch code for Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush Duel, Dawn of the Battle Royale, !
Semicolon an accident, or was that supposed to be in there?
I wasn't sure how to separate it from the next game because with the comma, it's kind of hard to tell where the games begin and end.
I just wasn't sure. I know you play games like Steins Gate and stuff, so I know like weird, you know.
I love punctuation in my game names. Alternative punctuation.
There's the title right there.
Which Yu-Gi-Oh's the king of it because. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is Y-U hyphen G-I hyphen O-H !
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Man, I remember when, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was, like, first coming out back in the day, and then it was, Like, we were Pokemon guys. Like, get this Yu-Gi-Oh crap out of here. But it's stand the test of time. Here we are, 20 years later, still talking about it. We got Mr. Yu-Gi-Oh on, well, not on the show, but sometimes.
Well, I think I would be the literal Mr. Yu-Gi-Oh. I think.
Oh, shoot. Perry's gone one episode, and Alex is already gunning for his other nickname, as if he doesn't already have enough on his own.
In addition to mine, I collect them as war trophies.
He likes all the commas for his titles there.
Yeah, I'm gonna own Jimmy next. I'm gonna Woo! Own Giblet Head. You're gonna be
yeah,
off
big
the
old
show.
Pickledy-doo.
I'm just gonna take Casey. That's not even a nickname.
Yeah, I'm just you now. But you'd have to start playing Final Fantasy 14.
Yep. So it's hard to talk about a card game and keep people not bored. And I recognize that. So I'm going to try to keep it semi-surface level. Yu-Gi-Oh!
I'll believe it when I see it.
Is a trading card game that was like the late 90s it was founded. It came after Magic the Gathering. And compared to Magic the Gathering, which is kind of the common frame of reference, this is a little more accessible and a little flashier, a little more anime than Magic the Gathering, which is a little more serious and classic fantasy. I'd say that's sort of the style difference. But you see a decent bit of crossover between the two games. Anyways, Yu-Gi-Oh's had a history of about 20 years. It's had a bunch of video games along the way. In the GBA and DS era, there was some really good Yu-Gi-Oh games that were kind of like the Mario Sports RPGs on the GBA, where you'd be a character, you'd go around a map, you would play cards against other characters, there would be like an anime story, and eventually you'd beat the game. And a lot of people, like me, have very fond memories of these specific Yu-Gi-Oh games from back in the day. Now, unfortunately, there hasn't been a game like that in a really long time. I think the last proper one, there were some on the PSP and DS that I think in the early 2010s stopped coming out over here. And then the next one was a 3DS localization of a Yu-Gi-Oh game that was completely butchered and had far less content. Then there was the Switch game that came out, which didn't really have a story campaign and was just straight up dueling. And then this one, Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush Duel Dawn of the Battle Royale, is the first one that resembles one of those RPGs from so many years ago.
The throwback edition?
Yeah. Which it doesn't surprise me then that I actually ended up beating this since they sent the code.
How many hours?
It was like 12. It wasn't that long. And in fact, there's not much of a story. I think it's probably an arc of the new anime. So, because it doesn't feel like it has a very wide-ranging story. You're basically a kid. You're in school. Yu-Gi-Oh! Dueling is the most important thing in the whole world, as is the case with a lot of these like worlds where there's a card game.
It takes over.
The whole government and economy is just built around this trading card game, but it's portrayed in a cool way and not like a hellish nightmare way.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
Yeah, and it's just you and your fifth grader friends. One of your fifth graders is a girl who's like a leader in a punk rock band. One of them created the new dueling format that's present in this game and wasn't in previous Yu-Gi-Oh games, which I'll get to. And then another kid's like a scientist, and they all look like straight up children. So it's very surprising that they're all capable of these things.
They're all protégés in their respective fields of Yu-Gi-Oh play.
Yeah. So basically you learn about rush dueling, which is the new type of dueling in this game, and then the company Goha, who's just like a company that runs the entire city, including the schools and everything. They're just like, hey, we're going to do a tournament. And then you duel a bunch of people, and then if you beat the game. There's a little bit of story along the way, but you're pretty much just wandering around a map from duel to duel. The RPG elements are extremely light. So that part is kind of bare bones. What's interesting about this one is that this involves rush dueling. Yu-Gi-Oh! As a card game has evolved a lot in 20 years, and that there's been like a big power creep, and there's been so many new styles of cards and types of cards that the people who got in when I got in the early 2000s were kids or even just got into it fairly early, the game's almost unrecognizable now. And there's a lot of different types of cards, whatever. Rush Dueling is a new format that simplifies everything, takes away pretty much all of the advancements that have happened over 20 years, and then changes the rules to make things faster and move faster. So, regular Yu-Gi-Oh!, you draw 5 cards, there's a monster lane where you can attack and defend, there's spells where you can just do various effects, life points, 8,000 on each side, you're trying to bring them down to 0. The regular Yu-Gi-Oh! Game, you're drawing 1 card each turn, you're usually only summoning like 1 monster, maybe 2. This one, you can summon as many monsters as you want, play as many cards as you want. You draw up to 5 cards each turn, which means you're filling up your hand every single turn. Which I'm not going to say any more about this because I'm getting into the mechanics, which means nothing to people listening to the podcast.
If you haven't played it, yeah.
So what I'll say to simplify is, if you're a lapsed Yu-Gi-Oh! Player who likes the old RPG games, you're gonna like this new style of dueling because it's very much like it used to be like 15 years ago without many complicated rules, and the new rules just make everything faster and more fun. So the dueling's really good. The RPG's a little limited. The dueling's really good. The problem is you can't really build your decks. They just hand you decks and you have to play with the decks you get, and up to beating the game, I got like 6 different decks, which you can't edit either. Which
ooh, that's weird.
You don't get as much customization, and it could be because of the format. Like, it's a little more dependent on having a theme, or maybe they were worried about kids playing it. But it gets kind of boring when you play like 10 people in a row, and I know which deck is the best one of the 6 they gave me, so I'm just using that one and the same cards over and over and over.
In the older games, could you change up your deck?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's a core part of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems like that would be... I mean, obviously, you have to have like a fun system. The game has to play fun, but I feel like the most fun part would be, yeah, sort of customizing your deck and trying to really, you know, get strategic advantage over people's, you know, how they make their decks or something.
Yeah. But what I learned was, you can use the Konami code on a specific part of the map where, like, you go to this little corner and your mini-map disappears and you enter the Konami code and you gain the ability to unlock deck editing, which normally only comes after you beat the game and reach credits. So I got bored and I'm like, I might not beat this if I don't figure out how to unlock deck editing. And I saw a YouTube video and I was like, oh, I'm just going to do that. So then I played with my own deck and I had way more fun. So if anyone gets this, I recommend they do that. To summarize, because I've been talking about a card game for far too long, it's kind of low budget. So if you're looking to understand what Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, I recommend the last Yu-Gi-Oh! Game that came out a couple years ago, because that's a really solid card game. One, it just doesn't really have a story. I'm trying to remember. I think it was like Duel Links Evolution or something. That one's really good. If you're a lapsed fan and you haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh! In a long time and you're curious about what it would be like to go back, the card game here is really, really good, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's kind of a budget game, just like it feels, a little low budget. So it's $40 now. I think it'd be a great purchase for a lapsed fan at like 20. Get a nice 10 hours out.
And I bet these games go on sale at least somewhat frequently, right?
Konami puts their stuff on sale, at least lately. It feels like they've been doing it a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if a year from now this was 20 quite easily. It's digital only, though, which means you're kind of reliant on the whims of the eShop.
Now, is this Nintendo exclusive?
Yes, it's only on Switch.
Okay, interesting. Because I was going to say, yeah, another route would be Steam, you know, but interesting. Okay, so Switch only.
Yeah, but there's going to be a new, like, master game or something, which I'm pretty sure is going to be their, like, high production free to play entry.
Rope them in that way.
Yeah, which I think is coming out in a couple months on everything. So that's my recommendation for this. I know we could switch around, but my next one is just going to be really short and I think is relevant to this. So how about I just continue on, good sir. All right. The other game I've been playing is a card game I beat on PC called Inscription.
Holy card game-ula.
Yeah, I've been playing two card games. This is one of the big indie darlings of the year. Kind of like, you know how Hades last year, everyone was like, this is the game of the year. This is the real game of the year.
That was the one, yeah.
Inscription seems like that's kind of taken that role in the zeitgeist this year, I feel like. The cool indie guys game of the year. Unfortunately,
I like the art style.
It looks really good. Don't Google too much, because it is a very, like, story, spoilery kind of game.
I ain't gonna play it.
It's a card game that I'm going to describe very little, because the structure of the game and the story of the game changes so much over the 10-15 hours it takes to beat it, that I'm only going to describe how it starts. You are in a cabin. Actually, no. You load up the game. You can't hit new game. You can only hit continue when you start up the game for the first time.
I don't like that.
so you hit continue, and then you're started what looks like in the middle of a roguelike run. And you're at a table. You're facing a ghoulish man, and he's forcing you in his horror movie cabin to play a card game roguelike. And it's a card game that I have reason to believe is actually fairly similar to Yu-Gi-Oh!, but is
a little more story involved.
A little simpler, I'd say. It's easy for, I think, anyone to grasp, even if they're not into card games. And,
gotcha.
You play various levels, and all the cards are very gross and horror-themed, and some of them have cosmic horror. And basically, you play what you can, you lose, and then it seems like you die, and then he takes a picture of you that's a death card, and then you can play that card in subsequent games. It's very strange. My bad. That was,
man down!
That was my microphone twisted and hit my keyboard. Okay. So, it's basically your roguelike, and then you get items which can boost it, where you have a scale, like a weighted scale, and by dealing damage against your opponent, the scale goes down on their side. If they deal damage to you, the scale goes down on your side. When the scale hits the bottom, whoever gets it loses. But there's, like, weird little things you can do to, like, items. Like, there's one where it's a pair of pliers that you can rip out one of your teeth and then drop it on the scale to save yourself.
I don't like the balance.
I'm actually not going to say anymore, because card games suck to describe on podcasts, and they probably suck to listen to. It's a great roguelike-y themed horror card game with a story and video game that really goes places. And it's really good, and it plays with the idea of doing things outside of the card table. Like, you can stand up from the card table and walk around the cabin and do things that impact the roguelike.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's kind of like a story-focused game that is structured like a roguelike. Anyways, I'm not going to say any more of this. We're going to keep it at a smallish bite. And I'm just going to say, if you like card games and you have a PC, this is an awesome thing you should play. But I don't want to say any more because it's extremely spoilery. Just next time there's a Steam sale and you see this on sale for $15, just plop down the $15 and have a crazy time. That's all. Boom. I'll say.
Do you think this game will ever come over to Switch? Do you think it's sort of ripe like that, or?
Probably, just because of how successful it is. I think it works as a PC game for many reasons, unfortunately, I'm not able to describe. But
gotcha,
because it's a Devolver Digital game, and it's had so much success,
yeah, there's definitely a chance
reason it'll come to Switch in like 6 months to a year.
You know what? Maybe next, like, Halloween-ish, right? That yeah. might be a good time for it.
Absolutely. This would kill at, like, an indie direct. If it's just revealed as the one last thing. Yeah.
Boom, yeah. And it's out now. Go get it.
Yep.
Boom. Cool. Yeah, it's funny you were saying the zeitgeist around the game, and this is the first time I've heard of it, I feel like.
That's funny.
I'm out of touch.
I guess so. What have you been playing?
Well, I was going to say, and the main reason I'm out of touch is because of good old Final Fantasy XIV. But, yeah, I know I've talked a bunch about it, but I'm coming towards the end of Endwalker, which is the most recent release here, recent expansion. So, yeah, a little Final Fantasy action for you guys. Yes, so I've been chipping away, and they did say before this game came out, they're like, hey, this is like gonna be as long as like one of our like normal full length releases, you know what I mean, in terms of RPGs. So it's definitely lived up to the billing, because I don't know how many hours I've played exactly of it, and there's really no good way to tell, because I can see how long I've played overall, but it wouldn't tell me, you know, how much in the last couple weeks. But I mean, I literally, man, I must have played at least like 12 to 15 hours this past weekend, if not more.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've been into it. and yeah, I felt like on Saturday and Sunday I did like barely move from my computer chair, and it was amazing. But yeah, I'm coming to the end. I'm level 89 and I'm on like the level 88 quests. And level 90 is the cap, so I'm right there, and you could tell with the story, of course I'm not going to spoil anything, it's building up to the end, and what's cool is this is sort of the the conclusion of a story that's been going on for more or less 8 years, ever since sort of the Realm Reborn stuff, which, for those who don't know, Final Fantasy released, and it was just god-awful, like, just really, really bad. And then they, like, Yoshi P came in as the director and was like, all right, we're going to redo this thing. And they essentially, like, rebuilt the game, brand new, while supporting the crappy game that was already out there, because they didn't want to alienate, you know, the people who were already, like, in on the ground floor, right? Like, you don't want to be, like, your most dedicated fans, like, well, screw you guys, you know? So, it was a big thing, and, like, they had, you know, it was dubbed a Realm Reborn, and it was a big event. But essentially, from that point up to now, you know, it's been 8 years, and this story's, you know, been building to this conclusion. So it's really cool for me, like I said, I'm, like, right on the end of it to see how it plays out. But I've been really enjoying it. It's, again, without going any spoilers or stuff, it's just, like, it sort of, like, took where the last expansion left off and, like, just hit the floor running, you know what I mean? I feel like we got right into the thick of it. And of course there's some downtime where, like, you know, sort of to, like, you know, build the world that, you know, obviously in a new expansion for MMOs, you get like all new areas to explore and new cities and all sorts of like new people and different like factions to interact with and learn about. So it's doing that as well. So it's not all go, go, go. But I really did like, I felt like the beginning of the expansion really sort of hit the floor running, really got you involved right away.
Just a couple questions. One, have you been playing mostly story stuff? Like I guess, what's been your path through and what have you been focusing on? And two, with that said, what's been the total playtime up until this point? Reflecting that.
I mean, Do you mean just for this expansion, you think, hours-wise, or, like, overall?
Here's what I'm trying to ask. So there's been... I'll be way more direct. So there's been four or five expansions at this point since the Realm Reborn stuff started.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those have a decent length story. That's a story been going on. I'm someone who... I want to jump in. I kind of want to wait on the server stuff even just a little bit longer, just so it's a little bit more comfortable to get in there and play. But I'm curious, let's say I want to see how the story plays out. How long is that going to take me, and how long has that taken you?
All right, so you're saying you jump in and, yeah, it's, if you're just doing story stuff, you pick your class, you do just like the bare minimum to continue the story. Whew. So you've got a Realm Reborn, Heaven's Ward, Stormblood, Shadowbringers, and then Endwalker. That's five big, fat... like, you're probably looking at 200 hours of play.
Wow. That's a good amount of game.
Say. Yeah. And, like, so, because pretty much it's, like, Final Fantasy XIV, it's definitely an MMO, right? But it's weird because, to me, it like, I'm playing it like a single-player game mostly right now. Like, of course, there are dungeons that crop up where, like, you have to team with other people. And, like, there are, you know, the trials, which are, like, the raids. You know, you get, like, you know... So, a regular dungeon's four people, yourself included. A trial is eight people. And then they have, like, these alliance raids, which are 24 people. You do have to do those, and, like, the game does an easy job of, like, automated. Like, you join the queue, you know, and you group up pretty easily. But, you know, so I've been obviously doing that. So I have been interacting, and I've been, you know, doing stuff, you know... with other people. It's not like I'm like, oh, I'm zero interaction, but I've really been focusing on the story because like I could have stopped and really focused on gearing up my character and going and doing certain raids, but I was in the mindset of like, I want to see the story through to the end and then sort of shift over to a more typical MMO where it's like, let me, you know, run these dungeons and make sure I'm getting the right gear and like start working on, crafting, like, oh, let me work on my blacksmithing and my, you know, my mining and those kind of things. So I haven't really even messed too much with that, like, side stuff. And like I said, it's still plenty of hours. I did switch characters a few times, or classes, so like that definitely added to my playtime a little bit. So maybe you go a little quicker than I was going if you're really just trying to like just nothing but pushing forward, you know?
I understand that's not the way to play this game and enjoy it most. And I'm not necessarily going to say that's what I would do. I was just sort of curious, like, what the experience would be for me. And in fact, I'm really glad you're saying it's an enjoyable, mostly single-player experience, because that's for sure how I would play it, too, on PS5.
Yeah, honestly, like... I would say final like 14 is almost a really good entry point for someone who's never played an MMO before, because like I said, a lot of it is sort of like you could, you know, do it by yourself. And they actually, even in the later expansions, I think Shadowbringers and Endwalker specifically, they have it where you can like forego even grouping up with random people for dungeons, and you could just get computers to play with you, you know, with your, like, so pretty much like there's a whole cast of characters that, you know, in and out, like different expansions, like some characters are more prevalent and like you still see the other ones, you know, and then like, you know, the next expansion, like other characters sort of are in the limelight, right? But these characters you can actually join, like, hey, I want you, and you, let's go do this. You won't have to wait in like a queue for the party to group up or anything. You just go in with the computers. Now, the downside to that is it's probably going to be slower, right? Because like pretty much when you're doing dungeons with other characters, right, or other humans, it's like they have better gear and they know what's going on, generally speaking, right? So like they'll go, oh, like there's a pack of enemies, and like maybe the computer, you go and you kill one pack. Then you go and kill the next pack. Then you go kill the next pack. Where, like, the human tank is going to go, oh, I can grab all of those at the same time.
You can optimize.
We could just blow it up, you know, because we got the damage. Right. So, generally speaking, it goes a little quicker with random people. And also, if you die when you're playing with the computers, you just restart, like, it's like a wipe. Everyone, like, dies, you know? Where if you die with other humans, like, someone can resurrect you, or they just finish and then, like, bring you back to life afterwards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little, you know, perks of each one, but essentially, yeah, the later ones you can almost, like, exclusively play outside of the raids, which are the 8-player, like, big boss battles. You know, you could do it solo. But, yeah, I think it's actually a good sort of intro because it'll introduce you to some MMO mechanics and different things maybe you're not accustomed to, where, like, if you got thrown into another MMO, like, you know, it might be more, your head might be spinning a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, A Realm Reborn is a little slow, but, like, to me, I didn't mind it. Like, when I see the most common complaint, people will be like, yeah, you just got to get through A Realm Reborn, and then, like, Heaven's Ward takes off, and it's incredible, right? And I remember, like, I loved A Realm Reborn because it's just world building, right? It's introducing you to everything, and all these characters, and, you know, having played other MMOs, like, the fetch quests and stuff like that, like, I don't know, it didn't bother me at all, you know? Like, I didn't think it was that bad. But I will say, Heaven's Ward might be one of the best RPGs I've ever played, like, story-wise, just that alone, you know? So, like,
whew!
Yeah, it's really, really good. So I think even if you were to, like David, you know, from Thirsty Mage, he is just about at the end of Heaven's Ward, and he stopped playing, you know, for whatever, you know, he's got reviews and stuff. But it's like, man, even if you just played through Heaven's Ward, it would be worth it. Not to say the other expansions aren't really good, and I think if you push to that point and you really like it, you'd probably want to continue to push on. But yeah, I mean, I'm loving it. I haven't even messed with the two new jobs in this game, Sage and Reaper. A Sage is a healer, and a Reaper is a melee DPS with a scythe or a Sith, whatever. I always say it wrong. and they look cool, right? So I haven't even messed with those yet, and I've heard both those classes are super fun. But yeah, I'm loving it. Like I said, it's going to be cool to be caught up because this whole time I've just been like, oh, I need to keep playing the story so I can catch up, so I can play Endwalker, like, when it's, like, present, you know, along with everyone else. And I'm almost up to that point now, and I'm looking forward, like I said, to sort of see, like, playing it more like a typical MMO where I'm, like, the gear grind and the, you know, learning these super hard boss fights and, you know, coming together as a group to overcome them. So, it for me, it's sort of cool to be like, all right, I'm going to be done with the story soon, and now I sort of unlock a whole nother, you know, area of the game I haven't really scratched yet.
Yeah.
And then even little things like, you know, decorating your room and, you know, like I said, like, leveling up professions and other jobs are things I'm excited to do. And things I could be doing now, but, you know, I've sort of had that mindset of, like, I want to see the end of this story before really, you know, opening up the rest of this stuff. But yeah, there's a whole lot of game here, and Square Enix has been doing just a fantastic job. You know, to me, whenever I played WoW, never cared about the story, right? It was always just, I'm playing the game because it's fun and I want to level up and down tough bosses. So to have, like, a complete different mindset of, man, I love this story and these characters and I want to know exactly what's going on with them is such a, like, welcomed change of pace for me with an MMO. So, yeah, like I said, now I'm getting excited to see how it compares to WoW on, like, you know, a more traditional sense. But yeah, I think you'd like it. And if not, the free trial right now, like, with I don't think they're actually letting anyone start new free trials because the servers are clogged up right now. But you can literally play. I mean, they had it up to Stormblood, which was the expansion before the current one, Shadowbringers. So I don't know if the trial will have up to Shadowbringers now, but even if it doesn't, like, they're giving you three, like, A Realm Reborn, Heaven's Ward, Stormblood for free. And, like, that's a whole lot of game right there, you know?
So I, years ago, like, literally might be 3-4 years ago on Amazon, there was a Black Friday sale and I got a PlayStation 4 code of a starter pack for this game, which was like $14.99. I don't even know what it comes with other than I think the first two expansions maybe. And I don't know how that would process since the game structure is so different now. But I actually wouldn't need to buy it because I have it already in my library. And can I download the PS5 right away, or do I need to play my PS4, make the account, and then do the PS5 upgrade?
I think you should. I don't know if you have the code. I don't know how that would work.
I guess I'll install what I have, make an account, and then install the PS5 upgrade after, and then log back in.
Yeah, because I know I started the trial for free on the PS5, and oh, it looks so, especially like the new areas are just insane.
Okay. I have a flight in like 6-7 hours, so I don't think I should start it tonight, but I may just install it just to make it easy
prep
to...
Prep it up for you?
Yeah, I think so. Although I think it's going to be effed up to try to play this around Christmas. So who knows?
Yeah, right. So pretty much right now, it's really like nighttime is super busy. So like, I don't know, if you tried to log on right now, it's like 6:30 p.m. You'd probably have to wait a little while, maybe an hour.
Okay.
Although actually today might be a little different because the new patch came out. But I think it's getting better. I don't know. I know, like I said, they've sort of suspended like new trials and new accounts and stuff, I think, or whatever it is. To try and alleviate it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it might be one of those things like sometime in January, fired up, you know, like, yeah, after sort of the Christmas, you know, rush maybe dies down a little bit.
Okay. Word.
But yeah, super good. I love it.
Nice. All
right. Sweet. And then, yeah, moving right along, there is one more game that we've both dabbled a little bit with, and it was actually at a request of good old Estuardo. Mm-hmm. That we checked out Demon Munchies.
Dungeon Munchies.
Potato, patata.
Demon Munchies.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm looking at Dungeon and there's not even any other word that might look like demon on there, so that was just a slip of the tongue.
Yep, slip of the case.
Yep, slip of the case. But yes, so this is... I didn't put a ton of time in here, admittedly so, but this is a sort of a 2D... I want to say not like a slash, like click and slash or anything, but like a 2D action game with a bunch of crafting. And you sort of get your abilities and upgrades for weapons and stuff that way. The idea is you are a zombie, and you are sort of going out there and collecting, like I said, you collect all sorts of materials, and then you bring it back. And like, for instance, I forgot what it used, but you know, I used some of the early things, and then you get like something that lets you double jump. And then, you know, it opens up some new areas you can go to, or like there was like these plant things that like you can't run through because they hurt you, so you got to like dodge roll through it. But you could actually destroy them, you know, when you get a melee weapon, and then you can use those to like make like a grass sword or whatever that is stronger than that initial thing that you get.
Yeah. But so have you gotten to the first boss yet? That's my question.
No. I was super light, and then I was playing it, and then you were like, want to start early? And I was like, all right.
Okay.
Put this game down for now.
So I think I can do a better job explaining what it is then.
Perfect.
Okay. So it's by a Taiwanese developer. I think they're Taiwanese. Majaja. Majaja. It is still in early access on Steam, so I don't know exactly if this is a complete package or not. Because I'm on the Steam page now. It feels like a Metroidvania, even though it's not, in that it's a 2D side-scroller with a connected area, but there's no map, as far as I know. So I'm pretty sure it's a linear action game, but you can teleport around different parts of the map that you're going through. And as Casey was saying, the whole gimmick of the game is that you're a zombie, you wake up, and you kill enemies, you collect parts of their body, whether it's meat or a snail shell or whatever, and you can craft that into both weapons, like swords, shields, whatever, to do more damage or cause persistent effects, whatever. Or you can create food, which you store in your stomach, and it's not a consumable, so presumably it's just sitting in your stomach. Magical food that gives you various powers. So you mentioned one of them's double jump. One of them gives you health. One of them, if you get attacked, you spray electricity near where you are to get at an enemy. One of them, I think, allows for venom. And the whole loop of the game is it's an action game. You kill, collect body parts or grass or whatever you cut up. And then you turn that into both more food to put in your stomach and create more powers and or weapons. So it's kill, craft, get stronger, kill, craft, get stronger, which is a very satisfying loop. And the one thing I'll say is that it does look really pretty. And the music, if you, I don't know how much music you've heard. The music is so good in this.
Mm. Yeah, I like the first area or whatever it was. It seemed like it had some pretty good music going. So
yeah,
we'll try and find a good one for the snap-in, if you will.
Sure.
For the pod here.
Sure. So okay, so you've gotten maybe 30 minutes in. Not at the first boss. What are your immediate thoughts?
Well, it definitely doesn't run at the best frame rate.
Mm-mm.
But again, I hate to like be too much of a stickler on that because it's like coming from like playing on PS5 and stuff, right? Like I get it, 60 frames, you know. But man, it would just not having 60 frames totally it takes me out of it now. But yeah, it's weird, like the. I don't like the menu at all. So you like hit one of the, I think it's the left trigger or it might be the left bumper.
Yeah.
It's left trigger.
Left bumper.
Yeah. It like brings up this crude menu. And at first I'm like, what the heck am I even looking at? Like, and then I'm like, I don't know. It felt weird. Like the menu didn't look good. But that was the first thing. I was like, ugh. But, the movement doesn't seem terrible. Like I said, you got sort of a dodge roll, you're aiming, right? Like, you can get, like, projectiles you could throw at things as well. So you have, like, sort of like a, you know, where you move your cursor, like, there's, like, a little in-game cursor, right? Like, a little circle almost that sort of points in that direction. Yeah, I don't know. It's not something that, like, I, like, looking at it, I was like, oh, this feels horrible or anything along those lines. But, like, nothing that, like, was like, ooh, that feels super crisp or, you know what I mean, or, like, super nice. Just sort of like meh either way, you know?
Yeah. It's nothing in the game feels exactly like you would expect it would because it's not Hotline Miami's top down, but it has the same thing Hotline Miami has where it's like a cursor that points out outside of your character that you sort of use to aim and help you aim. Cause it's a 2D game. Now in most games you would move with the left stick and the right stick would control that little reticle. But the left stick controls everything, which is a very strange feeling. And I don't think it feels great. I think the movement's also a little bit finicky. And it just... I got to this mushroom area, and I was just slipping and sliding off mushrooms in a way that didn't exactly feel good. Because the control, the aerial control and stuff just isn't up to snuff. However, despite these issues, I think I'm still gonna play more because there's something about it, something about the wabi-sabi nature of it that I'm actually really digging. Cause it's got some heart to it. Like the writing is really funny, the art is really nice, even though it's strange that this 2D pixel game is running at 30 or sometimes sub 30.
it's trying.
Yeah. But what I think is so cool, and I think like if you played like another 30 minutes, you would understand more of this. The game moves so fast that the killing stuff, upgrading. Cooking, upgrading. It moves so quickly and you get stronger and gain new abilities, what feels like constantly. And even though it's like an action RPG, I'm guessing this whole thing is going to be like 8 to 10 hours based on the pace things are moving at. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be that
length.
Long.
A good length
and a quick pace, really good music, really good art, pretty good writing. And it just has a feeling to it that doesn't feel like a blah indie game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where,
yeah, there's a level of polish or whatever, a level of detail.
Or at least artistic uniqueness, at the very least, is kind of my... Like, it's got a little something going on. And, like for example, I've been playing Kena, Bridge of Spirits, winner of Indie Game of the Year, the PlayStation-backed gorgeous thing. And
it
And it feels like a PS2 action platformer. The story feels like it's got nothing to say. The action adventure is like, wow, this feels like it's from 2006. And I know some people in the Discord really like it, so I'm sorry for being too hard. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like there's something unique going on here, and I want to play at least a little more to see what it is.
See if you can figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, even if it's not the whole thing, I don't know if I'm going to beat it, but I still want to play more.
Mm. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. And then, yeah, if it gets the talons in you, right? Like you said, if it's only a... That honestly, an eight-hour game, it's like a perfect amount. Back in the day, maybe I would have been like, oh, that's not enough. But ooh, nowadays, like, 8 hours is all you need sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's all the video game we can handle.
Perfect. All right. Well, the good news is we got more video games to talk about on the other side, but in a different format. So, on that note, let's take a break. Alrighty, we are back, and we did have a little presentation over this past week. We mentioned it last episode that the Indie World presentation happened, so we figured we're gonna just wrap that up into a good old-fashioned news segment.
News Talk with Casey Gibson.
Boobity-boom.
Yeah, how about I just run through this stuff really quickly because I watched it.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was last Wednesday or Thursday. It was like 20 minutes long. I think they did one of these last December. It was there. Here's a bunch of the cool indie games that are going on. Some stuff for the first time. Some stuff cool ports. Some stuff a little out of left field.
Some stuff coming out in 3 years.
Yeah, there's a... What's that Night Market game I'm trying to think of?
Ooh, I know exactly what you're talking about, but yeah, I don't know the name.
And like, I check up on it every once in a while, and it's like, oh, still not out. Mineko's Night Market or something?
I always wonder with a game like that, right, that like ends up getting tons of hype in one of these things, if it's almost like bad in the sense that, oh crap, now there's some serious expectations, right? Didn't that sort of happen to Cuphead, where it was like they showed it off, people were like, wow, this is amazing, and then the people heard it was like a boss only game, or you know, like boss fights, and it was like, then all of a sudden they sort of were like, oh well, let's bring in these sort of platformer levels, and then it ended up adding like way more development time into it. I think that was true, right?
Yeah.
So like, I wonder if that's maybe something that happens to a game like the Midnight Market that we're talking about, where
Mineko's, you know, Night Market, that's what, yeah, it's called.
All right. I trust you. I'm not even going to try and say it again. But you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if it is one of those where it's like, oh, crud, maybe we should sort of, like, bump up the scale here.
Yeah. And also, some of these games have such small teams. Obviously, I don't know what the size of this team was, or even Cuphead's, so I'm pretty sure a lot of that was done with just a few people. Some games are just made by one person. Like there's the famous story of Stardew Valley, where the guy thought it was going to take like a year, and it took 5 to get it out the door.
Well, and he did a dang good job.
It just seems like it. All right, I'm gonna run through this. I think one of the most exciting things was that Chicory, A Colorful Tale, is out now on Switch. That was sort of shadow dropped. Big PS5 indie game, PS5 and PC indie game from a few months ago. Seems like it's like an artistic sort of thing. I actually have it on PS5. I got it in the Game Awards sale for like $15. But I haven't played it yet. Dungeon Munchies, as we talked about, Let's Play Oink Games. That's like a cool board game sort of thing. Timely, and a demo for Figment 2, which actually looks really cool. I didn't even know of Figment 1 before this. Those all came out with the presentation. The one more thing was Omori, which is a psychological horror game, like a kind of a JRPG that feels like Earthbound, seems to tackle some pretty heavy topics. That comes out in the spring. That one's been on my Steam list forever. I've intended to get this one, but I don't think it's been cheap enough. But I hear it's amazing. Like, I think that's one of those overwhelmingly positive Steam games. Ah, do you have a mechanical keyboard too?
I do, yes.
Yeah, I love it. It sounds funny. It sounds awful, but I love it.
Because Figment, I'm pretty sure I played the first one. I'm trying to remember. I was looking up pictures, but yeah, Figment 2 definitely looks pretty cool.
It's got like a music sort of theme going on. Ollie Ollie World finally comes out February 8th. I think that studio was just acquired by 2K. Was that what that was? Roll 7? Let me see. Part of Private Division. That's who acquired them.
Mm.
Oh, the brainchild of Take-Two Interactives. Okay, so it is, so it's part of Take-Two. That one is coming out in February. As we said, Don't Starve Together, a co-op version of Don't Starve. That comes out in the spring. Regular Don't Starve is available now. Endling is a really cool Fox game that seems to be about ruining the planet, but it has like a cool 2D, 3D adventure gamey, maybe action, I'm not sure. Type style to it. River City Girls 2, that comes out in the spring. And then the big opener, which may have been the biggest new game announcement, Sabotage Studios, makers of The Messenger, announced an overhead JRPG looking game called Sea of Stars.
Mm.
That's a prequel to The Messenger, coming out next holiday.
Yeah, that looks incredible.
Did you play The Messenger?
I did, yes.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good. I didn't beat it. So pretty much it's like, right, it does sort of like the, like, hey, it's like an 8-bit beat-em-up or whatever kind of game, and then all of a sudden it like, oh, wait, just kidding, it's also like this crazy Metroidvania. I met those guys actually at PAX East, and they were super cool. But yeah, the game, that game looks amazing, right? Like, The Messenger looks super cool, and this game is definitely following suit. Really great pixel art. Definitely one that's on, you know, obviously love me a good old-fashioned JRPG.
A JRPG.
So, yeah. how we'll refer to them.
A JRPG.
A JRPG. But looking at the screenshots, right, like, ooh, that pixel art is just phenomenal. And like I said, if this game is anything like The Messenger in terms of quality, it's like, it's going to be good. It's funny, I see, I'm on their website, the questions, you know, the FAQs, why not make The Messenger 2? It's like, alrighty then. But no, this game looks super cool, and like I said, those guys were, I feel like they were super ambitious with their first title, so I'm excited to see sort of how they put their twist, into a JRPG kind of like this.
I think I played some of The Messenger, but I bounced off for whatever reason. And I must have played like 10 minutes or less, so probably not in any meaningful way. Maybe I'll pick it up next time it's on a deep discount on Switch.
Good old sale game, yep.
Yeah, yeah. But it seemed like it was a pretty cool presentation. No Hollow Knight, but it was funny. The morning of the presentation.
No Hollow Knight, 0 out of 10.
Alex 0 out of 10. Neil, I think, tweeted, he was like, there's been no... Hollow Knight Silksong has never showed up in an indie presentation. And my thought is, I know, but also Hollow Knight Silksong. So,
yeah, hey, if there's no dream, it can never come true, right?
Exactly.
Boom.
All right. Since we talked about your mechanical keyboard, I now put the rainbow spinny lights on.
Oh, yeah.
I've been enjoying that.
Yep, I've got the rainbow spinny lights as well.
We should, but we got another couple segments and what do we got, listener mails?
Well, it's funny, you'd mentioned the eShop Roundup since Perry wasn't here.
Yeah.
And I did pick a game just in case, but I know you like to axe it, so we can get rid of it.
It'd be funny if he didn't pick a game.
And we'll just say, in honor of Perry, we decided to hold off on the eShop Roundup till he came back.
Out of respect.
Yeah, out of respect to him and his. So that means we're going right into listener mail.
Listener mail.
Yeah. Alrighty. I don't know, Perry was talking about maybe reading the questions and sending them in. But you know what? It's like, you just got to know when to fold them. You're going to miss the episode. You're guilty of this as well. Let me send in a little segment so I can keep my streak alive. Hang it up, boys.
I put creative effort into my little segment. Perry's just like, what if I just read?
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yours was good. With
thank
the music
you
and everything. Yeah, Perry, screw you. I'm not re-putting your gibberish in here, you picklehead. So on that note, would you like to read the first note, or should I?
You can do it, because I just did the news. Okay. I need a vocal break.
All right, cool. So our first bit of listener mail comes by way of our good friend Lemonade. He says, "Hi guys, what is the best or most memorable game you received for Christmas?" He says, an example for me, I received Spirit Tracks for Christmas the year it came out. I didn't end up playing it very much, but then when I went back to it for the RFN Retroactive in May of 2019 and really enjoyed it. So what was your best or most memorable game you received for Christmas?
I think there's so many, because, I mean, a lot of our childhood games probably relied on Christmas or whatever holiday gifts, at least in my case, probably yours too. And a lot of my favorite games ever, I'm now realizing, were probably opened at the Christmas tree. Whether it's the Yoshi's Island on Game Boy Advance, or Donkey Kong Country Returns, or most recently Xenoblade 2 was also a Christmas open. My Game Boy Color, my Game Boy Advance, just a lot of really amazing games. Shout out to Santa, aka my mom.
Whoa, buddy. She's just one of Santa's helpers, okay?
You should bleep that. how about you?
Whew, yeah, so, yeah, I think for me as well, right, yeah, totally was, Christmas was the mecca for video games, right? It was like, that's, if there's a new console coming out, the only hope I'm getting it is for Christmas. Right. Or that new video game coming out, that, you know, as a kid, obviously don't have any money to pay for these things. So for me, it's like, there's a few that stand out in mind. I remember getting Pokemon Red and Blue. I got both of them because my mom didn't know which one to get. And I didn't have a Game Boy that year either. So, you know, not only was it like, man, I hope I get the game, I want to need the system as well. So I remember, you know, it comes the last Christmas gift under the tree. That box looks nothing like any sort of Game Boy or Game Boy accessories. But, of course, my mom always one to try and play a little trickery, right? Puts in a bigger box, open it up, boom, green Game Boy Pocket in there.
Ooh.
With Pokemon Red and Blue. Ooh-hoo-hoo! That was a good one. I remember when I got my N64, that was actually, it would have been, so N64 came out in what? It was like September 96, I believe. So
about
that. So that means it would have been Christmas 97. We didn't get it that first year. We were like, we really need this. And like, oh, we open all the gifts and nothing under the tree, right? And it's like, oh. And being, you know, in 97, I was 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, we were upset, even though we just got tons of, you know, presumably, I forget exactly what we got. But like, you know, my mom is always great with Christmas. But like, I remember mom like, you guys stink, you know, and she was like, I was going to surprise you later. And then all of a sudden one more gift comes out and it's N64, you know, we go bananas.
Yeah, I bet. Which that famous video of the kids freaking out over the N64. That yeah. Is that you?
Yeah, no, but it might as well have been. But I tell you what, I could go on so much with all these Christmas things. Last one, and I might these might be repeats, but you've never heard them. For GameCube, right? I wanted a GameCube more than anything in the entire world. Oh my god, like GameCube, because I saw those Pikmin commercials or trailers, and like that was the game I wanted more than anything. It's like I want Pikmin so bad. And like my mom had, and I guess again, like I was pretty young still, so it was like my mom had convinced me of, like there's 0% chance you're getting a GameCube. So it's like, ugh. Like okay, we're not getting a GameCube. We're getting Game Boy Advances. You know, that's where we shifted course. Like okay, let's get some Game Boy Advances up in here. You know, like we can do this. And like you know, then also like I could vividly remember looking through those like catalogs with all the games. Like we circle and we want these. You know, Golden Sun. You know, we want this is what we want. And we get up to the last gift, and like we're like me and my brother like look at each other like these are the Game Boy Advances, like here we go, we're gonna open it up, and sure enough we open it up and it's the GameCube, you know, and it's like wow. Oh my god, ballistic, dude. Yeah, Pikmin's in there. My mom, like I said, my mom's a saint. She I don't think I've ever had a bad Christmas, you know, in terms of like my mom always made it happen, you know.
Yeah, shout out to the moms because yeah. we have a. New motherhood happening as we speak.
Yep. Well, it's funny because Perry's like famously like I've never gotten a video game for Christmas, and you know, growing up kind of thing. Because obviously I've gotten games, but
yeah.
And then like meanwhile I'm like, man, how drastically different. Like my whole childhood Christmas was like getting all the video games I've wanted. You know,
it could have been a religious thing. It'd be funny if Perry just low key still thought Pokemon was the devil.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why I said still like he did originally.
He did. Yeah, that's the devil's game, those pocket monsters. He doesn't like Pokemon Tower, you know? It's too creepy for him.
I see. Mm. All right, I got this next one from Mr. Chariot Goblin. Hey, TNP. As we move into 2022, it's worth noting that Kid Icarus Uprising will turn 10 years old. Wow, wow, wee, wah. Do you think we will ever receive a new Kid Icarus game? Would you like it to be in the style of Uprising or the first two games? Oh, thanks and happy holidays. Thanks and happy holidays to you too, Chariot.
Boom. Yes, thank you. So I played Kid Icarus. I remember getting it, and it's... Man, it's like pretty depressing that it's like a decade ago. But yes, I remember getting this, and yeah, of course, like you had the stand, right? It was super weird to like play on that DS like that. But I think if they like took a game in that approach and put it on the Switch with like a normal controller, I think it would do really well. Like the banter between the characters, maybe a little overwhelming. If I remember correctly, like there was a whole lot of banter. And, like, sometimes it was like, damn it, Kid Icarus and Palutena, like, shut up, like, let me play the game.
Right.
So, like, maybe they could tone that down a little bit. But I loved, like, the humor and the lightheartedness of that. I think they could probably make a pretty cool game. I guess it's just you hear Kid Icarus and it's not really, it doesn't sound sexy, right? It doesn't sound like a game that's going to be like, oh, yeah, that's sounds like an amazing game, you know? It sort of sounds weird, like, I don't know. But I think it looks cool enough, like a cool trailer. I bet like that could sell people. But yeah, I think I would like it in the style of Uprising, but you know, maybe a little bit more modern feeling in terms of control on the Switch.
I think it'd have to because there's no touchscreen, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the controls of Kid Icarus Uprising felt more like the realities of the 3DS more than anything else. So
Yeah, that's true.
I can't believe that thing's 10 years old. That is, I don't know if I'd say it's like one of the top five, but I think it's one of the most memorable Nintendo games of the last 10 years. Just because that E3, I think 2010 reveal, where it was like the, sorry to keep you waiting, and then he dives down, was just like amazing. Such a nice reveal, because I remember like a Nintendo Power Project Sora rumor mill thing a couple years before. That game is really good, and it's so much bigger than you think it is, because you watch the trailers before it comes out, and you think it's about a 2-hour Star Fox game. And in reality, it's like a 10-hour Star Fox game and an additional 10-hour action game interspersed between it. And it has that, I don't think it counts as a spoiler, because you can't even play it on anything anymore. One of my favorite moments, or I think the moment in that whole game, is when you play through like 4, 5, 6 hours, you beat Medusa, and you think it's like, okay, it's the end of the game. Then Hades, I think it is, comes out and is like, hey, you're basically actually a third of the way through the game. And that was so cool. That game had a ton of heart. I hope we see a new one. Never say never. Would you like it to be in the style of Uprising? Sure. I think if we got Mr. Sakurai on a new Kid Icarus game, I'd play whatever that thing was.
Yeah, that would be a nice change of pace from him doing Smash, right?
Yeah, good question, though, Cherry Goblin.
Yeah, like I said, crazy to think a decade ago.
Yeah, the 3DS is a dinosaur now. I still look at my 3DS from time to time, and I'm like, wow, is that not a new console anymore?
Yeah, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But anyway, we're getting old. That's, you know, Alex can't eat food anymore like he used to.
I'm on a liquid diet now.
Yeah, I drink my shakes, my protein shakes. All right, moving along, though, we got a couple more awesome questions here. This one from Lockjaw2814 on Twitter. What is your best memory of either a game marathon or pulling an all-nighter after a midnight release, including any food and or snacks involved? You got any off the top of your dome there?
Not for a minute. I've never been to a midnight release for a game for anything, I'm pretty sure, at all.
I think that would involve you downloading a game at midnight or playing it upon releasing on the, you know, eShop or whatever digital storefront. Have you waited, downloaded and played all night or at least a bit after?
I guess I've done the a bit thing. Like I think I got New Super Mario Bros. 2 that way, and the new Animal Crossing, New Horizons. I think I played an hour of that after it came out. Game marathon, the most memorable one, and this one's going to be so random, but the PS4 was new, and I had been playing Assassin's Creed 4, which is a really
such
great
a good game.
Game,
dude. Black Flag, let's go.
Yeah, and this is how my memory remembers it. I don't know if it's like this in practice, but to me, Black Flag is like a Rockstar tier open world game. It's just so good. But I had been playing at normal sessions, and then I think I started playing at 6 p.m., and I beat it at like 5 a.m. The sun was going up.
Woo!
As I wrapped that bad boy up. And that for me was the most memorable night marathon. But there's also been stuff like when GTA 5 came out. I think the first full day I played like 10 or 11 hours.
So, yeah.
A couple of those.
For me, I've been to a few midnight launches to go pick up a game. Like whether it's Madden or something stupid like that. I know Madden they always did at midnight. One of the most recent midnight launches I can remember being hyped about was Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Was really cool because I went into the city for NWR, and they had that like launch event at the Nintendo New York store. I got to meet the Big Reg that night.
Yes.
But the thing was, like, that was, you know, early on, and then I was pretty much an hour train ride from the city. So, like, I went in, did that, came back home, and then I remember I was home at, like, you know, 10:30, 11, and I was, like, already falling asleep. I was tired. And then I went and got Mario Odyssey, and I came home, and I think I put it in, and I was like, I'm just going to play in the morning. Like, I'd taken off work the next day. I was like, I'm just going to bed. And I feel like that generally happens to me. Like, any of these games I get super hyped for, it's like, most of the time, like nowadays, like I'm going to wait till the next day because I'm just going to be tired. You know what I mean? And then like I'll be battling the like, oh, I want to stay up and play versus like the like, oh, but I'm so tired and like I'm not enjoying this like I should now, you know, like I'm forcing myself to stay awake. So I feel like generally speaking, I don't have too many like amazing like all nighters that like from a launch, I guess, aspect. There have definitely been some games You know, like when, actually, I'd say the worst midnight launch I ever had was Diablo 3. I went and oh man. So I really wanted the collector's edition, right? Mm-hmm. So I go to this Walmart and I'm like, hey, you guys got the collector's edition, right? They're like, yeah, we got them. And I got there like, honestly, I got there like freaking like 8 p.m., dude. I was like, I'm camping out, I'm getting this sucker. And I waited all that time. And then these son of a guns, dude, like, oh, we don't have any. I was like, are you kidding me? I was so angry. And then, like, we happened to call another Walmart, and they had one in stock, which was doubly annoying because, like, man, I could have just went at midnight to that one and not wasted 4 hours of my life here.
Yeah.
But I got it. You know, I was stoked about that. Came home, and then, like, the servers were just eating it. You know what I mean? I drank, like, 2 20-ounce Red Bulls. I was, like, jacked up. And I remember just laying up. I remember laying on the couch at like 4 in the morning after I'd like 4 or 5 in the morning after giving up, like, this is just futile, you know, like it's not happening tonight. And I remember laying there, I was like, man, like, I just want to go to bed. I'm like, like shaking in the couch, you know, I'm like, man, I wish I didn't drink those extra Red Bulls. But I guess some good ones, like I've had plenty of good, like Warcraft all nighters, you know, famously after I came home from visiting school. So my senior year going into freshman year of college, right? Like I went like visited the school, like, and we stayed at my dad's friend's house with like no internet access. It was horrible. And like I was really into Warcraft at the time. So much like I hadn't even like, this was early on. Like I'd never even hit like the level cap, you know? So I was still just leveling. And I remember I came home and I played 12 hours straight nonstop. Like, oh, that was amazing. Some good, definitely, I guess, even, like, most recently, I guess I had some good Diablo 2 sessions going on. But, yeah, for me, like, nothing better than when you have, like, have a little LAN party, get a little pizza. Pizza and Pepsi, baby. That's all you need.
There's a certain specific vibe that is a collector's edition for a game between, like, 2008 and 2011, where it's either the coolest thing you've ever seen or is just absolute junk. The example I'm thinking of right now is Resident Evil 5, which was just an absolute trash of a collector's. Oh boy, let me see. Is that from Diablo?
So yeah, so for the listeners, it came with a Diablo like little figurine skull with a USB soul stone that goes in his head. And when you plug the soul stone into the computer, it lights up red. But yeah, I would say that the Diablo 3 Collector's Edition was actually pretty dope. But yeah, that was, yeah, I'm a Diablo sucker, right? So it was very much like, yeah, I need to get these. And I have the expansion, like, Collector's Edition too, are pretty cool.
That's extremely metal. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And like, I feel like a lot of times, right, I get collector's editions, and then, like, yeah, you open them, you fiddle around with them, and then you put them back in the box, and then you display the box. But, yeah, this one I've always kept right under my monitor. I've always got Diablo and his skull just staring at me. Funny enough, right next to Poochie Amiibo. So you got a little, like, super metal, like, death, and then you got Poochie with his big, dumb, happy tongue right there.
Poochie's the goat.
Yeah, I do love good Pooch.
I'll get the next one. We'll this will be our last one, I think.
That works for me.
Huh?
I said that works for me.
This is a quick one from Jonesy on Twitter. Favorite third-party GameCube game? I know Resident Evil 4 is the obvious answer, but I'm going to give a couple non-obvious answers. NBA Street, all three of them are amazing.
All of them.
Have you played those?
I don't think so. Oh, I was a big NBA, like the you know, NBA Jam back on the SNES, like big fan of that. Are they have the same heart?
So these are NBA Street Ball. So it's like kind of like more Blitz. Arcadey than regular straight up basketball. And there's like Game Breaker, like crazy dunks.
Okay, yeah, Jam is in the same elk. It was like 2v2. Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to, like, toss it up and do insane alley-oops and, like, you know, like, oh, you could just sort of, like, mug the other guy and, yeah, like, steal the ball from them, you know?
But you also do tricks like Tony Hawk and get points for it.
That's amazing.
It's so good. And then, so NBA Street 1 and 2 are like the classics, but V3, which is actually my favorite, has Mario, Peach, and Luigi as guest characters in the GameCube version.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then Def Jam. Def Jam Vendetta rocks. That's a fighting game with hip-hop artists and rappers as the fighting characters, but it's like a wrestling game. It's so good.
Hmm. Right, I like
so,
it.
So those are a couple cool guy answers. What are yours?
Yeah, like you said, obviously you got Resident Evil 4. Is it's hard to argue, although I would argue Resident Evil, the remake, is right there, if not. You know, it really depends what kind of mood I'm in. You know, I think Resident Evil 4 is inherently an easier game to pick up and play, and, you know, a little more action, a little more, you know, big set pieces like that. But, man, if you're in the mindset to sort of play, like, an eerie sort of puzzle, you know, survival game, you know, the remake is so good. And now they, you know, they've re-released the remake on Switch and stuff. I mean, I guess they have 4 as well, right? Did they do 4? Pretty sure they did.
Yeah, no, they have all the Resident Evils.
Yeah, so
on
yeah.
everything now.
Yeah, it's smart. Like, that's what these publishers should do. Like, if you got a really good game, put it out on things, you know. But I'd say like a dark horse, pretty good one, Soul Calibur 2. I remember having a lot of fun with that, and like obviously the hype to be able to play Link, you know, made that like the best version, right? Because they gave each, you know, Sony and I forget even what Microsoft, their characters were. They each got one Spawn, right, or something? I forget who exactly the other ones are. But obviously, Link is, like, the coolest exclusive for a fighting game. And I just remember, like, that was my first Soul Calibur game and, like, really getting into it. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some other ones, like Beautiful Joe. It wasn't my favorite, but, like, you know, super stylistic, really cool game. Yeah, I'm trying to think other, you know, I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but I know like there were a couple good Star Wars games on there that people really loved. But yeah, no, I it's hard to argue with Resident Evil being sort of the top tier, right?
Yeah, no, that's the GOAT. Mm. And then people like Beautiful Joe, and was Okami was a Metal GameCube game?
What's that?
Was Okami a GameCube game?
I think so. There was also that Metal Gear game for GameCube 2. Again, I've never really been a Metal Gear guy, but I know people
Twin Snakes. Those. That was a remake of 1, I'm pretty sure.
So, definitely some good games. Oh, the good old GameCube era.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. That'll do it for listener mail, but that's not the last thing we have.
We're not done.
No, I look at the time. It's poll time.
Poll results time.
Hooey.
Mm. All right. We got a poll this week. 2 months later, how do you feel about your Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack subscription? And then feel free to elaborate in the comments, though we're running up on time, so I'm not going to read any of the comments, but you can do that yourself at Talk Nintendo POD.
You heard that. Alex doesn't care about your opinions.
I love when you say the truth.
Yep.
How do you feel about your Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack? I'm glad I updated. Whatever. Somewhat regret it or didn't upgrade. And then I didn't upgrade. And you, how did you vote on this? Even if you didn't vote, how would you have voted?
I didn't vote, but I would vote, it's whatever. Mostly because for me, I was part of Perry's family plan, right? So like upgrading it, like Caitlin and I are on his family plan. So I think it was like $12 for both of us to upgrade for the year or something. It pretty small price, right? So for me personally, it's been a whatever, just because I mean, I haven't really used it that much. I should say, at some point play Ocarina of Time. I've actually sort of been thinking about it a little bit. You know, I haven't had a good Zelda replay in a while, and like I played Majora's Mask not too long ago on the 3DS, and I feel like it's been a hot minute for Ocarina of Time. But I would say, I guess though, like Caitlin's been happy with the Animal Crossing stuff. So, you know, it's good that she's gotten in there and got to play all that stuff without having to buy the expansion pack. So, like I said, I mean, it just made more sense being on the family plan for us that, you know, again, it sort of a minimal upgrade cost-wise, and she got Animal Crossing, and eventually I'll probably play some N64 games a little bit. So, yeah, like I said, really just in that meh.
Yeah. I put didn't upgrade, because, and I actually don't regret it, because it sounds like the N64 emulation isn't great, and they really aren't putting out that many games. But I've made my feelings known, so we'll end this on a note of what the other people said. All right, so 189 people voted. 60% said they didn't upgrade. That's how these kinds of polls go. Like, I kind of know this is what happens, but I just need to put this as like a repository for the people who feel they need to vote. But so 60% said they didn't upgrade. 7% said they somewhat regret it. 18% said, it's whatever. And then 13% said, I'm glad I upgraded. So for the non didn't upgrade answers, it was, it's whatever. 18%. I'm glad I upgraded. 13%. Somewhat regret it. 7.9%.
So, yeah, what's that? About 18 and 31%, give or take, right? Just about that. So about 30% of the people are either, you know, like whatever to happy with it. So, I mean, I guess it could be worse, but, you know, obviously, yeah, an overwhelmingly large percentage did not upgrade. And that makes sense, right? Like, if you're not playing Animal Crossing, like, maybe upgrade when the, like you said, the library flushes out a little bit where, hey, I'll do my year now that I could jump in and already have 20 N64 games instead of sort of getting the trickle feed that, you know, we're likely going to be getting. But yeah, I don't know. It should be interesting if they add any more value to it at some point, because eventually, right, like, eventually the Animal Crossing DLC isn't going to be something exciting for anyone, you know, like, it'll be like, okay, like, that game's old, the DLC's old, like, so essentially I'm just getting the games now, like, or are they going to try and sweeten it up with something else?
Yeah, at a certain point, it's not going to be, anyone who's wanted to play that DLC will have already done so. Yeah,
should be interesting. I don't know, again, it's one of those things, like, if I wasn't on Perry's plan, I probably wouldn't have upgraded, I don't know. See, it's like, I guess maybe I would have just got the DLC for Kate for Animal Crossing and just chilled on it. But like I said, it worked out in our favor in that sense. And again, like, yeah, if you're lucky enough to sort of jump on someone's family plan, I think it's sort of, I don't want to say it's a no-brainer to upgrade, but it definitely makes it way more, like, manageable to sort of go with it, you know? But yeah, hopefully Nintendo can keep on pumping it out and actually, you know, put some effort. I don't want to say put some effort into it, like, because that's insinuating they're not, but, like, figure it out, you know what I mean? Like, how is the Switch running N64 games so crappily, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, if you wanted to get it right, you could, is what I'm saying, you know? Like, make it happen.
Yep. People have made great N64 emulators with far worse technology.
Yeah, and for free in their spare time, you know? So, like, pay someone.
Yep. Absolutely. Nintendo, pay that man.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Boom. Let's end this.
All righty. Well, once again, thank you everyone for joining Alex and myself for this wonderful, much better than most episodes featuring Perry podcast here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're glad he's not around anymore. You know, hopefully he doesn't come back. We're just going to burn his gifts next week.
To burn his gifts.
Yeah. Spoiler, Alex already burnt his. No, but of course, yeah, we wish Perry and Jill a happy and safe situation going on with the baby. And, you know, 99% chance, I bet he's going to be on the episode next week. So we'll be planning on doing our fun Christmas exchange and gearing up for the new year. I think we mentioned it last week, right, that we're going to be doing our game of the year stuff. And Justin Nation will be joining for all that good stuff sometime in January. I would imagine probably in the middle, right? We'll probably give Perry a little bit of time to sort of acclimate to his new situation at hand here.
Yep.
But yeah,
unfortunately. No. Yeah. Good job and good luck, Perry. That's all.
You did it. Yes. All right, yeah, you can find us over on Twitter
good
at
luck.
Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo.
P-O-D.
You can find NWR and us over on Patreon.com/NWR. That's Patreon.com/NWR. You can go over to iTunes, and I honestly think Spotify now has ratings. So wherever you're listening to this amazing podcast, if I don't say so myself, please, 5-star review. It helps a whole bunch, get more people listening, and we can keep the fun times happening. But please, only 5 stars. We don't want any of those gibberish 4 or 3 stars. Don't even think about anything below that. I mean,
yeah.
Come
on now. I don't want to hear your complicated opinions about the current state of the podcast. Yeah.
Look, if you've got something to say, you can put it in the comments, but just make sure the stars are 5.
Remember, as soon as you're about to give a 4-star review, remember you're giving a complicated review of a podcast. So get over yourself and give us those 5 stars. Please, we love you.
And thank you, yes. And of course, everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you guys are celebrating out there. We hope everyone's holiday season is fun and safe and full of good times, hopefully some good food and video games and family and friends or whatever you got going on. Another year just about in the bucket. I can't believe it.
Yep, can't believe it. All right, bye.
We'll skedaddle, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
And maybe Perry if he decides to stop being a turd. Perry, screw you.
I really hope you cut this out of the show, to be honest.